Okay.
It's if you want to have something to say.
I have nothing to say. Like, she said.
No, I introduced myself. Okay, I'm going to say, you're going to say the part of sharing my journey. No, but like,
I love
journey,
what
okay?
you said.
You've tuned into another episode of My Sarwa Story, brought to you by Sarwa Talks. The show helps you learn the financial habits, hacks, and attitudes of people in the Middle East to help you better manage your financial well-being.
Hi, my name is Wala Hanawi. I'm a dentist, specialist in root canal treatment. I'm a wife, a mom, and I share my journey with my husband and my baby on social media platforms as the Hanawi family.
Ali Wala, what's your money up to these days?
Wow, straight to the point.
Straight
right?
to the point.
It's... I should ask my wife.
No, you start.
Does she manage the accounts in the household?
She manages the spending in the household.
Does she have a budget? Is there a budget on the spending?
100%.
Okay, how do you guys set the budget?
I mean, like, 100%. What's the budget? It's 100% for her.
Okay. That's allow him to spend from the budget?
Yes, sure, sometimes.
No, but I'm curious because, I mean, financial management for a couple can be a very taboo topic to talk about. Because, you know, families don't want to reveal how they manage their household. So if you guys don't mind sharing, what is the process of discussing, hey, this is our income, what should the spending be, how do we budget, how do we save, what does that look like in your household?
This topic is a taboo. Especially that the conventional way of thinking is the man brings in the money of the house and then he gives to his wife, kids, whatever. Today, everything's changing. Today, she's working. She's an entrepreneur. Or we're taking the road to being entrepreneurs. She's a dentist. And now it's changing in a way that I'm bringing in, like, there's two streams of income, let's say. Mm-hmm. My stream of income, her stream of income. And then they combine into one. And that one stream of income is equally strategized, analyzed, and studied on how to spend it and how to invest it together as a team.
But let's be honest, he's the one who taught me how to save, how to spend, and where to spend our money, what to get, what not to get. He's the one.
I mean, I'm assuming even if he's the one to tell you, hey, this is what I know, this is how we should do it, there's a process of agreeing as a couple,
of course.
Correct? Exactly. Now, how does the money come into your household? I'm curious. Do you each have your own individual accounts? That's something taboo. Some couples think, I own my own account in my own name. Other couples, the way they do it is they have one account jointly that they own and they really collectively own everything. How's it done in your household?
We have three accounts, mine, his account, and we have a joint account as well.
And how does your income flow into this?
The income that comes from my job, it goes to my account, and same for Ali, and the...
Correction. Correct it. Say it more. Like, talk about it more. Like, the income that comes from my account goes to her, and she gives me whatever, like, I deserve.
So, Wala has an account,
yeah.
All the income, basically payroll, goes in Wala's account.
No!
It goes to you.
He gives me, okay, sometimes, but it goes to your account, and then you give me the money.
Not sometimes.
Okay, before the money flows out,
do
you guys have a process of knowing what the plan is? So do you guys say, okay, here's the plan for the month, and accordingly, this is what goes out and goes where, and all that kind of outbound processes?
Okay, so basically, it's all about budgeting with us at home. And even though she tells me, like, it's all about me, and she's learning from me and everything, but she's the source, actually. She gave me this inspiration to learn about budgeting, about... how to manage our money. So back to the question, when our multiple streams of income come to our household, we budget like the necessities, the fixed costs, the fixed expenses that we have. And then once we finish from this, we have another amount of money that is there at our household. And we structure and we strategize. What do we need to do? What's to spend for us? Leisure spending. What's investing? What are we going to invest? And what are we going to save from that amount?
Hmm. Now, traditionally, and you alluded to this earlier, Ali, that you mentioned that traditionally, men make the income, they're the breadwinners, they bring the money home, and then they accordingly spend it. Is this a conversation you guys had to come to an agreement that both your money is the household money, or is it, do you think, implied with our generation and younger in the Middle East?
In our case, it was clear, you know, my money is his money, and this money is my money, and we both, yeah, it comes natural.
Interesting. So just to paint, a picture for everyone, you all grew up in Lebanon, correct?
Correct.
So that may not be the same for all parts of the Gulf. For all parts of the Middle East. Definitely, when you think of the Gulf and Gulf countries, even with our generation, it's still very common to find the man say, "Oh, but the tradition is I take care of the household. Your money is your money." This is why I was actually asking, how's it done in Lebanon? Now, aside from each of your day jobs, you collectively are insta-famous. So I'm curious, does your 400-ish K following Instagram account generate an income for your household?
Yes, it does.
And how much of your, what percentage of your monthly income is that? The reason I'm asking is because I feel like these days everyone wants to be Insta famous, Twitter famous, YouTube famous. So realistically, can someone or a couple in this case have a viable income by being Insta famous?
At the beginning, no. And the goal was never to...
It started by joke. We were having fun on TikTok. We were shooting videos. We were at home during quarantine, so it was not our goal to grow this account and become Insta famous or TikTok famous, whatever, just to
or make money
even. To make money, that's what I want to say.
That was never the goal. It was just to have fun. And then once I still remember the first comments that we used to get, that you guys give us a lot of positivity and we love your content, and the only thing that's keeping us happy in this quarantine or in this isolation is your content. So
I still remember these comments.
Yeah,
they're very nice comments, actually. Yeah. To know that you're
exactly
entertaining someone else
exactly
in a difficult period like a lockdown.
After that, the main goal or the main drive was never to become an influencer it was more of a content creator.
Okay.
It was never an influencer or never to make money out of it.
I get what you mean. And it must be very genuine content because that's how you genuinely are as a couple,
exactly.
Correct? Now, at what point did you guys realize, oh, wow, our content is so popular, we can monetize this?
Someone contacted us if we're interested to do I'm not going to say the name, a campaign for hand soap. Yeah, hand soap. We were like, you know what? No way we can make money out of this. No, we were shocked. No, especially that it was for fun. And then there's an agency that contacted us also, and they asked us if we are interested to sign with them. So we started to think that, oh, we can grow a business out of this.
Exactly.
Mm. And at this time, we started to think business-wise, if you want.
But this is whilst you both still had your own individual full-time jobs,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Did the thought cross your mind that one of you would give up working full-time to manage your new influencer potential as a full-time job?
Yes.
It's always there. The thought is always there. And here we are.
Okay.
Here we are in
what's
Dubai.
What's stopping you?
What's stopping me from what?
Saying, okay, this is our influencer potential. Let's go do this full time.
Scaling it.
And why is scaling it hard?
It takes time.
It takes time. It's a lot of time and effort. And it's not something easy. Like, it's not just like, yeah, put a camera and just film yourself.
But I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it, right?
Exactly.
So do you believe that it is something that can be a full-time income for someone?
I'm working on it. Actually, we are. The correct term is we are working on it.
Okay, so until you reach there, right now, what percentage of your income does it contribute when it comes to your monthly household income, let's say?
No, I'm not working. When we moved to Dubai, I'm still not working. So we're counting, if you want, on this amount, yes, that is coming from social media and on Ali's job.
So, Ali Wala, you guys are newly parents, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's that like?
Oof.
You can see from under our eyes, yeah.
I'm going to talk about the beautiful side of this.
It is all beautiful.
It is positive. Okay, what is the beauty of motherhood?
It's the most amazing feeling you can ever have, honestly. The second I held Aboudi in my hands was the most beautiful moment in my whole life. I'm gonna still remember this moment until I become a teta.
A teta means a grandmother.
Yes.
Does it make you want to have more children?
Of course.
Like, I want to relive this feeling. Yeah. Do you feel the same?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Now, even when Aboudi. What's his name?
Abdul Muttalib.
Okay. Aboudi for short.
Exactly.
Now, when it comes to managing the financials of having a child, because obviously that's a whole other person you need to account for, plus some expenses. How do you go about planning for that and managing that as a married couple?
This is the conversation we were having yesterday. Like, even though, I'm sorry we're jumping from subject to subject.
Yeah.
But like, even though I come from a financial background, not family-wise, but like industry-wise, it was my job for the past 12 years. But I was never taught, even in university, even though I studied banking and finance as well, I was never taught how to really invest. I was taught how to be an employee in the investment field. And these are two very different topics.
So how did you learn how to invest?
Challenge myself, get out of my comfort zone. She was the motivation. It was all her. I remember like the second I still remember until today, the second we got married, we were in the car, my mom, me and Wala, and I was looking outside and I felt like everything changed. I felt like it hit me, like the idea of
leaving your comfort zone, my house,
my parents, between brackets, my comfort zone, my real comfort zone, into something where it's all on me, on my shoulders. I'm responsible for everything. Once we got into the house, me and Wala, she gave me this inspiration without even her knowing, but she taught me how to really think outside the box, how to manage our household, how to budget, really understand what investing is. And it's not just buying stocks or
investing in money.
Exactly. Investing, it's not about money, it's about time. And this is
energy.
Everything you do is an investment, basically. And like when I first ask you, like, what first comes to your mind when I say investment? Or even
these days, crypto, I'm not gonna lie.
Exactly. Yes. All of us, actually.
Yeah.
But even for everyone watching, like, when I say investment, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And if your answer was like stocks, financial securities, crypto, NFTs, then this is just a small fraction of what really investment is. When in fact is, when like these, your ROI is basically money.
Hmm.
When investment should be, and that's my opinion, that's not like a golden rule. Like, investment is relative to each and every single person. It's not a constant. So investment to me, in my opinion, is your ROI should be happiness. Even though that's like, money doesn't make you happy or whatever. I know it does. I'm not going to lie. But is it the ultimate goal of happiness?
So I find it interesting that Ali, you think Wala was your muse to save and invest. And Wala, you think Ali taught you to save and invest. Really, as an outsider, I see that you guys inspired each other to take care of your financial well-being as a couple. And probably that trigger, so that moment you referenced, Ali, about being in the car with Wala and your mom, was probably like a turning point. And often with a lot of people, it's until they become the man or the woman of their own household, i.e. when they move out, whether they're married or not, that they then kind of wake up and say, oh, I'm responsible for my own financial well-being. I need to invest. I need to save for the future and whatnot. Now, I'm curious, when it comes to the little one in the picture, how do you guys decide how to budget for the little one. Because I see some parents, some of my friends put no budget. They go crazy. They say, oh my God, I will give my baby everything it deserves. And things can get really expensive in the UAE. Schools are really expensive, nannies, nurseries, the like. So how do you go about financially budgeting for a baby?
We have an agreement also. I'm going to give my baby whatever he wants, but to a certain limit. And I'm not going to be... I'm not going to buy him things that he doesn't need or just for buying or bring him this toy or this, I don't know, this high brand t-shirt just to make myself happy, you know. We have an agreement on this. We have to make him feel safe, happy, but not... overspend mm-hmm. on things that are not essentials for him.
Essentials.
So things that at the moment while he's... Sorry, how old is he?
10 months.
Yeah. 10 months old. So he cannot yet say, mommy, I want, daddy, I want. Yeah. So you are right now as parents deciding what he needs and what he doesn't.
Yes.
What about when he starts to talk and sees his friends having, you know, expensive games and toys and holidays, and they say, mommy, daddy, I want. Do you have a plan for how you're going to manage that?
Sorry, looking at me.
Should I answer? Okay. Okay. So basically, this goes back to, no matter how much planning we do, let me put a small disclaimer. No matter how much we plan, we can never get it 100%. No matter how much we put like, I want my son to be like that. Or
but we can decide what to get him and what not to get him. And we have to teach him that even if your friend has this fancy thing, it doesn't mean that you should have it.
So basically, it all goes back to the book that we read. It goes back to Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Which book? Okay. So one of our other guests actually mentioned that book as well.
Every financial person like mentions that book.
So I'll tell you something funny about that book. Okay. I read, my dad got me the book when I was a teenager, and I read it and didn't get it.
Okay.
I actually reread it during lockdown, so just That's a couple true. Years ago.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. Now this makes sense. Because I'm older and I have the ability to kind of comprehend the entire concept of saving money and accruing and, you know, generating wealth that way. And finally hit home. But that being said, what do you guys invest your money in as a couple in order to not just kind of save and have cash in the bank for a rainy day, but to also grow your wealth?
Honestly, I had zero knowledge about investing and finance, and so he started to teach me everything, especially now we hear a lot about crypto, NFTs and the stock market. So it's his thing.
So Ali comes up with a plan and he says, voila, here's what I think. Do I have your buy-in? is that the process? And then you say yes or no, and then he hits play?
No, not
like that. But I give him my opinion, even if I'm not an expert in finance or investing. But we share everything, and
actually, I give her like the intake, and as much as possible. If she understands it, we go for it. Yeah. If she doesn't,
I encourage him as well in it.
Even though it might be profitable or whatever it is, if she doesn't understand or grasp truly what it is, we don't go for it.
You don't go for it. What are some examples of things you just find so difficult to comprehend as someone who doesn't come from an educational background in finance and banking?
Cryptocurrency and the metaverse now.
Basically Web3.
Well, I was just going to say, I can't get my head around Web3. I get crypto, I get the metaverse, but I don't get Web3.
And NFTs now. NFTs. But I have a little bit of knowledge now. 5% maybe.
And Ali, how do you help Wala what resources do you give her to help her? If you feel like additional resources are required.
Financially or
like let's say Ali just can't explain it to you, does he refer you to a particular TV show or podcast or YouTube channel?
YouTube. Of course.
This is my thing. Like I love my dad and I love my family and I owe them everything, but
he learned this from YouTube.
Like my father was the poor dad, mentally in the way he used to think. And this is the first time I say this.
Oh my God.
And again, I love my dad, but I'm not bashing him or anything. And I'm because you asked me a question about how I'm gonna give Aboudi. Like when my son asked me, like, Baba, why does this person have a Ferrari? I want one. Or I want these shoes and I want this and that. So it's kind of this, but I want him to understand, what does owning give to you? Like from a business and investment point of view. So back to this conversation, like my father was the poor dad, and I hate to say
The poor dad mentality. Let's say.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And YouTube to me was my rich dad. I didn't have a mentor and nobody taught me.
My
YouTube,
dad too, by the way. In his mentality, they all were
the poor dad mentality. Poor dad.
I do think that that is actually the majority of the population.
Exactly.
Because not everyone, I think it requires a very enterprising mindset and an entrepreneurial spirit to actually go and be rich dad.
Exactly.
Because then you are leveraging. And not everyone kind of understands that concept. The comfort is, I have a 9-to-5 job, I have this income and I save, and that's what's going to get me and my family by.
Exactly. Exactly. So YouTube to me is my rich dad, and whatever I learned from YouTube, I always throw at Wala. Everything. So this is the information. Let's debate about it. Let's challenge ourselves and learn about it.
Interesting.
So that's the intake.
Great. Guys, I do hope that this also being on YouTube does provide some insights on how young Arab couples these days are managing their money as a household. And thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
My Sedwa story is brought to you by Sedwa. Visit sedwa.co and download our app to invest or trade today. The views expressed by our guests are their own and not part of Sedwa. Sedwa is regulated by the ADGM Financial Services Regulatory Authority, FSRA, and DFSA. All examples are for illustrative purposes only and are not intended as one-on-one financial advice. Please keep in mind that past performance is no guarantee of future results. Additionally, investors are encouraged to do their own research and due diligence. All investing involves risk.